today on Real Radio.
When we talk about who God is, he is certainly not the God who changes. He does not change. The Bible says he's immutable. He cannot change his nature. It is impossible. You see, is there something, if your God's so great, is there something that he can't do? Yes, he can't change. He can't sin.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called He Who, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you took the time to join us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah was God's mouthpiece during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. But it was his visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah that made Isaiah the most often quoted prophet in the New Testament. In Isaiah chapter 40, we discovered the grandeur of God and how it can be seen in his faithfulness. He has everything under control, and his love for us is unconditional. And if he can hang the earth where there was nothing, count the stars in the sky and name them, and even redirect the rain, well, surely he can take care of us. So today, on day 2 of Isaiah chapter 41, Pastor Jack tells us that God's nature never changes. Over and over again in his word, he urges us to trust him. And he who keeps his promises to Israel will keep his promises to us. And if he says he will save Israel, he will save those of us who believe he died and rose again. And now, continuing his lesson called He Who, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The devil has never roared to me. He always sneaks up on me. He doesn't roar. He may have roared down in your neighborhood, but by the time he gets to me, he's not roaring. And he's like this, shooting those darts, right? And when you're a new believer, it's like the enemy just comes walking up, hey, I'm the devil, and I'm boo! And it's like, that's so obvious. But as you grow a little bit longer in Jesus, have you noticed that it gets harder to detect the enemy's attack? He's like the CIA. He's like CIA undercover. The enemy comes up, and he's like, hey, how you doing? And they look just like us. He'll look just like us. He'll talk our lingo. He'll be very smooth. And he'll even approve of things. He's like, oh yeah, right. And he'll listen. How did he get Jesus? Well, first of all, let me take that back. He didn't get Jesus. How did he try to get Jesus? He didn't pull up Playboy magazine or Pottery Barn magazine. That's the one I gotta stay away from. Their spring sale is just... No, he attacks with Bible. He attacked Jesus with Bible. Satan knows the Bible better than any of us. And he'll use Bible. Listen, Christians who know the word, Satan uses the word against the Christian who knows the word. Listen, when he went up and when he quotes scripture to Jesus, he says... Isn't the Lord promised to keep you? Throw yourself off from the temple. Doesn't the scripture say that his angels will bear you up? And he leaves out part of the verse when he quotes it to the word of God, Christ. Is that amazing? You want to know how the enemy is going to get to you, believers? He's going to use the Bible to deceive you with leaving out or adding. Have you read that in the Bible? Don't leave out or don't add to the word of God. Why? Because that's what Satan does. Listen, the Bible says, if any angel comes from heaven and delivers to you, preaches to you any other gospel than that which has been preached by Christ, let that angel be Maranatha anathema. What does that mean? Taken and thrown into the deepest of hells. Wow. An angel preaches any other gospel, let that angel be damned. Says the Bible. That was written in the first century. That was written in the first century. It's in the Bible. That's 2,000 years old. And then what happens? For example, Islam comes along and says an angel said, no, it's this way. The Bible was already in print. The Bible was already available to people. An angel said, and then listen, our good friends, they're sweethearts, but boy, they're messed up, is our Mormon friends. They're sweetheart people. But you know what? You know what their story is? An angel came from heaven and gave us another gospel and another Jesus. You guys, this, the warning sign's been up for 2,000 years not to listen to that. And now, even in the church today in America, we have the new evangelicals. And what are they preaching? Another gospel. False gospel. Listen, they're everywhere. How are you going to know? The word. And listen, can you guys avoid buying any new translations of the Bible? Watch out what's out there. Watch out when people's emotional view of Scripture becomes truth. We want the Scriptures to say this. That can't be what Jesus meant. That can't be what Moses meant. That can't, you know what? In fact, we're just going to be red letter Christians. The red words of the Bible only. This same group is saying that Paul the Apostle should not have ever written anything found in the Bible. They think, by the way, that by being red letter Christians, that they can do what they do without any problem, because they say the Old Testament is worthless. Isn't that interesting? If you believe that, then you have completely denied the ministry of Jesus Christ. You want to know how? Jesus said in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Don't think I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've come to fulfill them. I've come to obey everything they said." Wow. So whatever is in Genesis to Malachi is truth. If there's any variance at all, the question would be, are you a Gentile or are you a Jew of the Old Testament? Okay, that's important. But this is a big deal, church family. What's going on today? When we talk about who God is, he is certainly not the God who changes. He does not change. The Bible says he's immutable. It doesn't use that word in the English, immutable. He cannot change his nature. It is impossible. You say, is there something, if your God's so great, is there something that he can't do? Yes. He can't change. He can't sin. Well, would your God ever make a rock so big that he couldn't pick it up? He's not stupid like you. That's stupid. He is never changing, eternal God. And today, we're seeing so many things that are misrepresenting God, and because it makes you feel good, people are diving onto it. The shack. The book was blasphemous just to begin with, and now I guess there's a movie. Is it out or is it coming out? Oh, it's out? I haven't seen it. I'm not going to give the guy any money. But if it's anything like the book, it's blasphemous. It's blasphemy. Oh, but it caused me to see God different. Whoa! What God? God who? I just feel like I know Jesus more. What is that supposed to mean? Listen, do you understand? When you talk like that, when you think like that, you take this and you close this and you say, I'm going to tell you how I know it's true. I saw the movie and I see God so much better. How is that? Because when I saw that, it clicked in my head and I felt really good about it. And it's like, yeah, that makes me feel warm. And you know, I never had a father like that. And I want a father like that. I really see God different. That's how you're deceived. But it feels so good. You know how you talk to people, I mean, I've never talked about it like this, but you've seen where people say, well, you know what, I had an out-of-body experience. All these out-of-body experiences that people have, you ever talk to them about Jesus if they claim to have one? They don't need Jesus. They said, oh, it was wonderful. I don't need Jesus. But they never get through to the end. They always tell you, I felt really incredibly safe. I felt really just incredibly comfortable, and I was going down this tunnel. And as I kept going, there was just a sense of envelopment and peace. And the light was getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And then I woke up and I'm not afraid to die anymore. Well, what do you think about Jesus? Oh, I think he's one of the many enlightened ones. He probably experienced what I did. No. Do you believe he died on the cross for your sins? Oh, sins. That's a negative thought. Then what do you think you were experiencing? I think I was experiencing some supernatural thing. Oh, there's no doubt about that. It was supernatural. But see, people base things on feelings like that. Well, I don't need to read the Bible. I had this feeling. I prayed that if God wanted me to buy that or do that or move there or do this, that the sun would come up in the morning. And look, there it happened. People do weird things like that. God who? The God of the Bible keeps his word, never changes. You can trust him. He's eternal. And listen, when we do get to the book of Isaiah chapter 41, you will hear him say over and over again, I've made this promise to Israel, and I'm going to keep it. And he tells Abraham, my covenant with you is an everlasting covenant. He said to Abraham, it's an everlasting covenant. You say, well, you know, in fact, to make it even stronger, the Bible tells us that when God made the covenant deal with Abraham, the Bible says, before God struck the deal with Abraham, God put Abraham to sleep. The Bible says that he fell into a deep sleep, passed out sleeping as the terror of the night came upon him. And the Bible says that the Lord spoke because God would not agree with any other but himself. God made a covenant with himself for Abraham. And where's Abraham? Where's the mighty man? Where's the great friend of God? Where's the great man of faith? Out like a light. He probably looked like a dead man. The Bible tells us that as people, we are dead in our sins. And listen, 2,000 years ago, based upon the promise of God, Jesus Christ went to the cross, and you and I were not there. You and I would come down many generations later until we are here tonight. And yet the Bible tells us that God said, I have sent my son, Jesus. He is going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that that plan of God was something that all the Old Testament saints looked forward to and all of the New Testament saints looked back to. Amen. They were saved the same way you're saved. They looked ahead to the sacrifice. We look back to the sacrifice. It was all Christ. It's always been about him. And God says, my land is the land of Israel. That's why Israel's in the news right now. That's why Israel's going to be under attack. That's why the Jew is hated. That's never going to change, ladies and gentlemen. It's because of their association with God. God has got it out for them to show them his love. He has chosen them. I like Tevye on Fiddler on the Roof. God, I know we're the chosen people. Life is hard. It's tough. And you chose us. But come on, can you choose someone else for a while? It's a great line. He chose them, and the world hates them. There's a reason. God says, listen, I keep my word. And what you're watching in the news, isn't it amazing? Nations of the world are aligning themselves to go to war against Israel. But many of those nations don't believe that Israel exists. You can't approach what concerns the God of the Bible like that. Because listen, it's not the Jew, and it's not necessarily the current borders of Israel, because those are only going to expand. When the Lord comes back, they expand. It's the fact that you're tampering with God in what he has said. God has said something and he's going to do it. And church family, if God doesn't do what he has promised in the book of Isaiah 41, then he's not going to do and he's not obligated to do anything for you. If we can find a place where God breaks his word and breaks covenant, then we have no hope. Israel is a living example of how stubborn and rebellious a people can be. And God still reaches out to them. It ought to encourage every one of us. If God can save them, he can save us. The issue tonight is, do you know Jesus personally? And I'm not asking you tonight if you prayed the prayer. That's ridiculous. A prayer can't save you. Do you know Jesus Christ personally? So how do I know? Well, first of all, if you know him personally, you can't get him out of your head. In fact, after you know him personally, you can try to get him out of your head. He won't leave. He loves you so much, he'll drive you nuts. He'll never stop talking to you if you're listening. Listen, 40 years of being a Christian, that's one thing I've concluded. I conclude now, I used to think as a young believer, when's God going to speak? When's he going to speak to me? Why doesn't God speak to me? You ever go through that? It's like, God, talk to me. What's happening to me? And then I realized when I got quiet and sat there, he has his own frequency. And he's very possessive of it. And that frequency is very soft and very quiet. And you get alone. It's hard to do, you know? But you get alone. And I have discovered he never stops talking. He's so, you know, it's just amazing. If you're a believer, you know what I'm talking about. If you have never known that, but you're religious, you're religiously lost. You're a very moral, lost person. You're a very good guy. Who's going to hell? You don't get to heaven by being good. The Bible says that nowhere. You get to heaven by being a washed, redeemed, cleansed sinner. Say, well, I'm a big sinner. Then you can be big forgiven. Let's pray tonight. And if you've never settled that once and for all in your life, you want to do that now? Maybe that's why we didn't get into this book tonight. Maybe there's a reason, and maybe you're that reason. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I just ask you right now, Lord, in this sanctuary, on a Wednesday night, that maybe one person's here this evening that needs to hear this. That God so loved you before you were ever born that he even called you by name. The name that you have, God knew you were going to have that name. And all the stuff you've gone through in life and all the things that have been happening is what the world does to people. And God has been waiting and waiting for you to get fed up with it all. And maybe you're here tonight because you're just now sick of this world, and we all get that. Or maybe you're here tonight, things have never been better, but you just know after having things so much better in your life, you're still somehow empty inside. Or maybe you're here tonight and you just know that you need forgiveness. And you want to be made new. Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead. That doesn't give you entrance into heaven automatically. Jesus said you must acknowledge him. You must believe that he died for you and that he rose again for you. And you must believe that when he said, if you turn to him, he will receive you. He said, if you come to him, he'll never forsake you. And he said that if you come, you come asking him to be your Lord and Savior. If tonight, that's you this evening, you know you're supposed to do this. You may be hearing God's voice for the first time in your life this evening. Be honest. Be true. If that's you this evening, well, heads bowed and eyes are closed, will you slip your hand up wherever you may be? Tonight, God is talking to your heart. God bless you. Anyone else in the back? God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you in the very back to my right, up front here to my left. God bless you. Right where you're at tonight, those of you who raised your hands, just tell them, Lord Jesus, save me now. I want you to come into my life. I'm done. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I'm not even exactly sure how to do this. But I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my life. Be real to me, God. Wash away my sins. Make me your own. I want to be owned by you, God. I want to know you. I want to live a new life. I want to be washed and have my mind cleared, my guilt removed. I want to know what that's like to be fresh and to start over. Tell him tonight, thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place at the cross. I deserve death. And thank you, Jesus, for having been risen from the dead, because without you, I'd never see life. And you tell him, amen, Lord, amen. The word amen, Hebrew, means true, truly, true. Thank you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer tonight, I want you to get a Bible this evening. And you leave here diving into the Word of God tonight. God has promised to wash you clean. It's not something we do as a church. We can't. He does that. And tonight is the night that he has met you here. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for these who have made this decision tonight, who raised their hands. I ask you, Lord God, that you would do what you've done to the rest of us in this building. You revealed yourself to us and you changed us so much to the point that, Lord, on the days of great spiritual success to the days of great setback and failure, you never left us. You've never left us. You never abandoned us. You never gave up on the work that you begun. So many times we gave up on us. Lord, I know in my own life, there's been times when I did everything I could to convince you that I'm not worthy to have you in my life. That you would do better without me. And you wouldn't even listen to me when I talked like that. You just stayed with me. And I pray tonight for those who are making that decision as they will experience the same.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called He Who, Part 1. So glad you took the time to join us today. And you know, our hope is that you've made Pastor Jack's messages personal. He who saves is the Lord who desires a personal relationship with you. He Who, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, if you haven't made the decision yet to invite Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior, because maybe you've got a few questions, well, we'd love to help you out with that. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. There's a tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, Pastor Jack has a short video for you to watch on what it means to have salvation through Jesus Christ. We're not here by accident, and God loves us so much that he provides a way for us to have a personal relationship with him. There's also a space provided for you to give us your email address in case you still have more questions or you want to leave a comment. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on that tab that says Know God. And you'll find that deciding to follow Christ will give you a peace that passes all understanding. Visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.